Welcome back to the Psalms, everyone. The 38th is a psalm of confession and deep, heart-wrenching guilt. Verse 4 captures the tone. My guilt has overwhelmed me, like a burden too heavy to bear. Musically speaking, my first instinct was to call this a goth track. Dark, brooding, emotional. Just look at the words. Searing pain, utterly crushed, groaning in anguish. It's dark. And one thing I appreciate about goth is a willingness to feel your feelings. And music helps you process. But then, it could also be a country song. Heartbreak story of pain and guilt. That's country. Then I found it. Johnny Cash's rendition of the Nine Inch Nails song, Hurt. Cash recorded it just months before he died, a devoted Christian of deep conviction. He opened the album with a reading from Revelation and a track about Jesus' return, dense with Bible and powerful hope for eternity. So why would he follow that with a painfully dark song about self-harm and addiction? He recorded it because he never forgot what it was like to hurt. Cash spent some dark years as an addict. He remembered the pain and the pain he caused. God rescued and God restored, and Cash spent the rest of his life thanking Jesus for life and hope. But he remembered where he came from, and he remembered the hurt. Here in Psalm 38, the opening words in the King James read, "A psalm of David to bring to remembrance." The NIV says petition, but every other translation renders it remembrance. David wrote these words to remember the guilt and put it to music so he wouldn't forget the hurt and wouldn't repeat it. This psalm is for the addicts, the sinners, the guilty, all of us who've been through it and got stripes to show it. Get ready to cry, cry, cry. David's about to clean out some old wounds. Verse 1. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. David starts the psalm in trouble with God. He knows it. Conviction hit hard. Correction he can handle, but he fears God's wrath. Not your anger, Lord, not your wrath. And watch how he describes the conviction. In verse 2, your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down on me. David is well familiar with the sight of an arrow piercing a man. And that gruesome visual is exactly how David feels God's conviction. It dug deep, and now it's stuck. Ever been there with guilt? It hurts. Verse 3. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. David is ready to crumble, like his bones won't hold him up. No health, no soundness. He feels his rottenness eating away. Now, it's not clear whether David has a flesh and blood illness or if this is all metaphor for his guilt. Either way, it is thoroughly clear that this is about sin. There's no Bible record of David having an illness quite like this, but there is plenty of record of his sin. Lust, adultery, lies, even sacrificed another man's life to cover it. I don't know what sins haunt your memory, but maybe you can relate. All of this hurt, David says, is because of his sin. In verse 4, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Guilt sinks you like a weight. David is overwhelmed. 5 feet high and rising, the flood of guilt rolls in. Now David will get past this. God will raise him up. But this psalm is about remembrance. Never go back there. In verse 5, my wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. The wounds from God's arrows of conviction are festering now, loathsome. The sin was deep, and it's oozing out like the disgusting pus that it is. It has to come out, and David knows why. Because of my sinful folly. I was stupid, Lord, foolish and sinful. I did this. Verse 6. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. David is mourning, a man in black. And that searing pain in his back? A literal translation is loins, leading some to believe that this might just be a sexually transmitted disease. Now, I think it's a mistake to link all STDs with sin. But for those who feel the pains of both disease and guilt together, there's a cruel irony. David may well be familiar. In verse 8, I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. David brings his painful lament back to the Lord. And what a statement. All my longings lie open before you. I can't hide anything from you, Lord. You know the longings that led me down into sin, and you know the longings that called me back up to you. Before people, I can hide, but not you, Lord. You see everything. No more hiding. Verse 10. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away, alone, isolated. Now, when you're this far down, the worst thing you can do is isolate. But for David, they're leaving him. Friends, neighbors, gone. I guess things happen that way. Some folks can't handle your dark days, but you still miss someone when they're gone. Friends are out, but in verse 12, enemies are crowding in. Those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they scheme and lie. I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I have become like one who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. David feels powerless. Guilt does that to you, renders you deaf and mute. Why listen when nothing makes it right? Why talk when everything inside is wrong? But in verse 15, he looks up once more. You will answer, Lord my God. The one thing that holds him back from the pit is faith. You will answer, Lord my God. David waits for God. Verse 16, for I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my feet slip, for I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. You can almost see David with his feet right at the ledge, nearly slipping, about to fall. And the pain of guilt doubles down on gravity. So he does the only thing he can do. In verse 18, I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. That short little verse is the crucial heart of the psalm. I confess. Iniquity is more than just one sin. It's all of it. All the darkness within. And read carefully. He doesn't just regret getting caught. I am troubled by my sin. The Hebrew word indicates deep concern, even dread. Do you feel that over your sin when you confess? The Lord is merciful, and so should we be. But Jude reminds us to show mercy with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the flesh. In verses 19 and 20, David laments those who are enemies without cause and who hate him without reason. It's a lonely place. Those who repay good with evil lodge accusations against me, though I seek only to do what is good. David wants to do good now, wants to walk the line on the straight and narrow. But sometimes when you try to get right, others still mean you wrong. So one last time, he brings it back to God. Verse 21, Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Savior. And there it ends. Feels a little unfinished, doesn't it? But that's where David wanted it remembered. The fire of guilt was not quickly extinguished, as David well recalls. There will be recovery, and Psalm 39 will begin that road. But for now, we dwell here. As for Johnny Cash, he too remembered. It's the reason he wore black. I'll close with his own words to explain. I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who is long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the times. I wear the black for those who've never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why, you'd think he's talking straight to you and me.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.
What's that? How many Johnny Cash song titles today? I think there were 9, but who's counting?